Maybe you've had a moment where you wanted to quit or just weren't feeling your workout, your exercise plan, until that perfect song came on. Well, what does the research say about music and exercise? Can it make us work harder and longer? We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a person who generally reaches for your headphones before your exercise? And what is your go-to song to get you pumped up and keep you going? Call 800-642-1234 or comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carl Foster is an exercise physiologist with interests ranging from clinical exercise physiology to elite sport physiology. He's director of the Human Performance Lab and director of research in the Clinical Exercise Physiology graduate program at UW-La Crosse. Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rob.
What led you to study the role of music in our exercise?
Well, we have graduate students who have to do thesis projects, so you're all the time doing stuff. And about 20 years ago, a student of mine named Mark Schwartzmiller, who had been a musician when he was an undergraduate and was searching around for a subject, came in and said, could we do something on music? And everybody knows that, you know, the music comes on and you tap your toes or bounce up and down. And so we read in the literature a little bit and we realized that there were some gaps. And so we wound up just doing a thesis project where we wanted to see if we sped the music up or slowed it down, if the pace of exercise would follow that. And indeed it did. And that was, you know, again, one of these serendipitous things where you do something sort of by accident. And it turned out it had a little bit of legs. And now we've done about a dozen studies over the last 20 years or so.
Now, is it different the way music affects us if we're sort of a novice exercise person like me versus an elite athlete?
Probably not. It probably affects everybody to some degree. There's some evidence that people who are more extroverted will seek out more sort of driving, fast tempo, loud music than people who are a little more introverted. But I suspect, and I think our data supports it, that almost everybody responds at one level or the other to music. It's, although you have to find your own taste and the kind of music that you enjoy.
Let's get to one that you mentioned as an inspirational song to us, Queen. Who doesn't like to listen to some Queen? Here's a listen, and we'll talk about the tempo here.
Okay.
Okay, now I think of, you know, people wanted exercise to fast music. I think I checked this out at like 90 beats per minute or something, a little slower than I would think. So how does that fit into our workout, our exercise routine?
Well, 90 is actually at the slow end of music that's used, but the beat in that song is so powerful that it grabs almost everybody. For the average person, somewhere around 120 to 140 beats per minute seems to be the most useful, but I suspect it's cultural. And I'd remarked to one of your producers before the show that, I'm a fairly old guy. I'm in my 70s and I listen to country and Western music, which has a tempo of about 90. And I say to people that that's the speed of an old person's soul. You know, I move slower than my students do. And the music I like is different. And we know there's a lot of meaning and cultural attachment to music that varies person to person.
Now, people might not know off the top of their head what 140 beats per minute sounds like. You mentioned that at a higher pace. We asked around here. J. Carlisle Larson, one of our producers, has some go-to songs. Decepticon by La Tigre, Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, and then Toxic by Britney Spears. I want to get a little taste of that. I think this one clocks at 145. All right, Carl, if we're, say, running and we hear music at that pace or doing whatever exercise, do we adjust ourselves to try to go along with that pace?
Yeah, we do. But the problem with running and walking is you're mechanically constrained by having to move your legs. It's a lot different than pedaling a bicycle in a gym where you can take tension off or add tension. So running, you probably increase your stride length as much as you increase your tempo. And in fact, the very, very first study we ever did was one of my colleagues had a company that wanted to make a commercial claim that they had a music that could drive people to walk at certain speeds. And so we tried it out, and we did the experiment to see if their claims were valid. But the problem is with walking, you're almost always at about 90 or 100 steps per minute, because mechanically you just can't walk faster than that. But if you get onto a bicycle where you can adjust your pedaling speed a lot more freely, and then the other thing you'll find is that people will entrain at maybe a 2-to-1 rhythm. So if you had really, really fast music that, let's say, was 180 beats per minute, you might entrain at 120 or 90 or some evenly divisible ratio to the beat of the music. But almost inevitably, if you get fast-moving, strong-beat music, almost everybody will increase their effort. Now, having said that, we did a study with some high-level cyclists some years ago and wanted to see if they were riding a time trial, which means they're riding as hard as they possibly can. Do they go faster? And in fact, they didn't at all. And we were, in fact, a little worried they might go too fast too early and get in trouble. But it seems like that the feedback you're getting from your body when you're going really, really hard so it tells you to sort of stop listening to the music and go at the pace that fits the task you're doing. But if you're in a workout mode where the level of intensity is submaximal, then the music is able to speed you up or slow you down.
Talking to Carl Foster, exercise physiologist at UW La Crosse, looking at the role of music and exercise, how music can help our workouts. We'll go to your calls now. Mike is with us in Woodruff. Mike, hello.
Hello. I was calling because I work out at about 4 o'clock every morning at home in the basement, and I listen to a kind of an eclectic variety of music that seems to get me in a good mood, that I think almost a meditative state where I can focus, and I'll listen to one or two, maybe three songs for a whole 45-minute workout, anything from Pantera to R.E.M. to the Talking Heads to Eddie Money, just kind of some classic songs that I get stuck in my head, and I'll just repeat them through the whole thing.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. That's interesting, Carl. It sounds like he gets into kind of a flow state by listening to the same songs again and again.
Yeah, that's the term that's often used in the literature. And I'll find myself doing the same thing. I have a playlist, but it's so some days I go back and repeat the same song several times because I just happen to like it that day. And the other thing that's important is music is arousing. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, most people need arousing. And so it helps you sort of wake up when your body perhaps isn't ready to wake up.
Thanks for that call. Let's bring on Dennis now in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I go back to an oldie. It's from St. Elmo's Fire, the theme song, Man in Motion by John Parr.
Yeah, that's a kind of an upbeat, inspiring kind of tune. And regardless of beat, Carl, is there something about the inspirational side of the music we listen to?
Yeah, there's definitely meaning to music. It's different for different people. The guy, it's worth mentioning, if the listeners are interested, the guy who's the big expert in the world is an English guy named Costas Karagiorgas. And if you just go in and Google music and exercise and science, his name will pop up. And one of the examples he uses is Vangelis, the opening for Chariots of Fire, mm-hmm. which is a fairly low-tempo music, but it's so associated with that wonderful movie. The people listen to that, and, you know, it's a very popular song, even though its tempo is a little bit down.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dennis. I've heard people, Carl, say that listening to music can reduce pain, and that goes along with exercise. Do we have any research on whether that actually works?
Well, I'm not sure there's any data on pain per se, like you got a bad knee or a sprained ankle or something. But in people that are doing fairly heavy exercise and it just sort of wears out and you don't want to do it anymore, but very often the tendency to entrain to a beat allows you to keep going. And it also serves as a distractive track. Now, however, we've done the experiment one time where we had people do a task that was 45 minutes long on the bike, and it was difficult, and we had a playlist that they wanted to listen to. We had Larry the Cable Guy, a comedy thing that's, if you're sitting still, is very funny, but after 40 minutes on the bike, it wasn't doing the job. And then we had some really non-rhythmic sounds like you do for yoga or meditation. And when you got tired and didn't want to keep going, if the music had a strong beat, you would entrain and could keep going. And elsewise, we had people just say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm off the bike. And so at least in terms of the discomfort that you get from going fairly hard, the music's capable of helping you. But having said that, if you're an athlete and you're going all the way out, it probably doesn't. We've done that experiment as well.
Carl, thanks so much for sharing your research with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Good. I enjoyed talking to you.
It's Carl Foster, exercise physiologist, director of the Human Performance Laboratory at UW La Crosse. He joined us to talk about picking music to fuel your workout. You can share yours still over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Got a lot of suggestions from around here. Maybe this will help your playlist some. We got Steve Gotcher, a technical director of Beta, says Rebirth Groove by the Rebirth Brass Band helps him when he's on the bike trainer. Colleen Leahy says Luxury by Azalea Banks. Eric Talmadge from Business Sponsorship says Eminem, Lose Yourself. That's in that aspiring category. Dean Kallenbach, regional manager in Eau Claire, says the theme from Rocky, particularly the Maynard Ferguson version. Yeah, we got that. I don't know if this is the Maynard Ferguson one, though. I think this is the original. Kathy Kappa, Membership Services, says I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. Dean Knetter from our own Central Time, Back Where You Started by Tina Turner. The list keeps going on. Tim Peterson, I see him over there. Lenny Kravitz's version of American Woman. You had one, didn't you, Sarah? What was yours? Where is it? Oh, here it is. Grizz, Tiger Kingdom Space Camp has an awesome brass part.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So lots of great inspirational music.